I want you to take your Bible tonight, turn to Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. We're going to look at four independent verses that will launch us into what I'd like us to learn this evening. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Now, if you would stand with me, please, we do that for a couple of reasons. We stand out of reverence to the Word of God. It also gives us just a touch of a break right before we set and listen to the sermon in its entirety. So Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, and the Bible says this, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to look at verse number 6. Isaiah 9:6 then says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and the name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, one other passage of Scripture to get us started, Exodus chapter 33, verse number 11. Exodus 33, verse 11. Exodus 33, verse number 11. And the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Now, if you'll look back at me, the sermon tonight is entitled this. It's a question. What is God to you? What is God to you? Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight to understand and to learn and to be able to answer the question, what is God to you? Father, bless us with thy Spirit's presence. Do a work in our midst. God, help my mind to be strong, thorough, and attached to the Word of God tonight. Everyone, from the youngest child to the newest Christian to the seasoned veteran, may we walk away from here tonight having learned something, and Lord, something that we can put into practice in our life, practical truth that we can live on Monday because we went to church and learned it on Sunday. Spirit of God, you're the one that will accomplish that, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat there if you will. We just read three passages of Scripture, and in those three passages of Scripture, you actually get to see four relationships that we get to experience with God. I'm going to explain those four relationships in a moment, and the passage that we just used, Genesis 1:1, Isaiah 9:6, and Exodus 33:11, those passages are the first time in the Bible you see the word that is connected to the relationship. For instance, Genesis 1:1, the Bible tells us, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Well, one of the relationships we're going to talk about is the fact that God is your creator. And the word God is used there. You know, he is the creator, and he is God. And, there are some people that he has created them, but they've not recognized him as God. So there is the creator relationship. There is the God relationship. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, he is called the Everlasting Father. And then finally, in Exodus 33:11, we see him referred to as a friend. So, here's what I'm telling you. There are four relationships we're going to talk about. I'm going to show them to you in a chronological order, the order in which we build one upon the other. We start out, he's our creator, he becomes our God, he becomes our Father, and we become friends. And I'm going to show that to you in a very simple fashion. Now, those relationships are mentioned and taught all the way through the Bible. You can find that he's creator in Malachi 2:10. And you can find that he is God in Isaiah 45:22. You can find him as father in Romans 8:15 and friend in Proverbs 17:17 and Proverbs 18:24. We'll let those launch us into what I'd like to teach tonight. Those titles tell us about the God with whom we are to have a relationship. Now, I'm going to sum up the entire sermon in the next four sentences, if you will, but I'm not going to close the sermon down after these four sentences. We're then going to hear something about each one of these four sentences. Relationship one, he's the creator. You're the creature or the created. That happens at birth. Relationship two, he's God and we become his people. That happens at salvation. Relationship three, he becomes our father. We are behaving like one of his children. That comes at the point of separation. You say separation from what? The world. Separation from those things that give the family a bad name. Relationship number four, friend and friend. You say, when is that accomplished? When you begin to serve him. So at birth, he's the creator. At salvation, you've accepted him as God. At separation from wrong, now you're letting him be your dad. And then finally, you begin to serve him. And now you have a friendship relationship. And these come in stages. It's a very simple sermon, but to me it's a very, very important sermon. Hear me out now as we, and the question is, what is God to you? There is very possibly in this building someone that falls into each of those categories. Now, some of us, I hope, fall into all four, but you could fall into just one. Let me explain what I mean. Let's start out with relationship number one, the creator and the created. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created. It says that in Malachi chapter 2, verse number 10. Birth starts that relationship. When you're born, you are born because of God. Everybody believes they were created. Nobody thinks they just suddenly appeared. Everybody knows they were created by something, somewhere. They don't always give God all the credit for the creation, but they know they were created. You did not evolve. You did not come from a monkey. You may want to scratch in places the rest of us would rather not watch. If you're scratching your underarms and everything all the time, you may feel like you've got some monkey tendencies. In all actuality, it has nothing to do with evolution. It has to do with the need of bathing. And so you did not evolve, and everybody, whether they want to accept it or not, they have this relationship with God, because whether they want to face it or not, he created them. They are his creation. And that's where it all started. God created man. You say, why in the world did God do that? God wanted to be with man. God wanted man to praise him and to love him. And so, God created man. Oh, but wait a minute, what happened? Man fell. God's intention was that man be in heaven with God to praise him, serve him, and glorify him. And it was going very smooth at first, and then man fell. And you say, Brother Owens, I wish Adam and Eve wouldn't have goofed up. I'd rather it be Adam and Eve than Jeff and Sherry, because had we been back there, we would have blown it just like they did, and so, you know, so would have you. So, hey, let Adam and Eve take credit for the fall. I mean, they goofed up. But remember, God created you and I to serve him, to glorify him, to praise him. So we had that original intent of God, but man blew it. Man sinned. As a result of that now, God is going to be in heaven, and if in man's sinful condition, now he's destined for hell. Why? Sin. Sin. And God said, oh, no, I don't want to leave this thing with man just being someone I created, because just being created is not enough to get you to heaven. And every human being out there was created by Almighty God. They may not recognize Him as the Creator, but that does not matter. You know, a child may look at a parent and say, I don't belong. You know, you didn't make me. It doesn't matter what you think, kid. Your mom and dad made you with God's help. Okay, so first relationship, Creator and created. Next relationship. Now, and let me tell you this, by the way. If you're not saved, you're just one of His created beings. That's it. Now, I hope everybody in here is doing a little better than that. But if you're not, there's something more that you need to add to your life. Relationship number two. God and His people. That comes when you get saved. We find out that it is God that created us. Isaiah 45:22 talks about God and His people. See, some people realize that He is the Creator. Then they give Him credit for that. So He is not just a creator to them. They say, we want the Creator to become our God. Remember, God created us to praise Him. Because of sin, we're now going to go to hell. So in eternity, unless something happens, we won't be in heaven to praise Him. But He created us to praise Him. So this whole mess up of the fall of man, God's not getting what God wants. So God said, I'm going to figure out a way to get what I want. Fallen man needs to be more than someone I created. They need to accept me as God. They need to accept Jesus. And if they'll accept Jesus, they then can get to heaven so they can do what they were originally created to do, which was to praise Him and to glorify Him. Now, at salvation, that's when you become one of God's people. Now, when you get saved, He's still your Creator. You know that better than ever. You ever heard the liberals say, well, we're all God's children. No, we're not all God's children. Well, we're all God's people. No, we're not all God's people. We're all God's creation. Now, if you're unsaved here today, God created you. But you need a little more than that. You need to become of one of God's people. See, how do I do that? You accept Jesus, who He was. He was God come in the flesh. You accept Jesus to become one of His people. Now, folks, so you know, all the saved people in the world are His people. And I said this just a week or two ago. Somebody goes to a church that they probably shouldn't be going to, but they're born again. They got born again according to the Bible. They're one of God's people. Now, that doesn't mean they're all acting like one of His kids. There's a little bit more to that. See, creation, you had nothing to do with it. Salvation, all you did was accept it. Well, after you accept it, then there's another level where there's a little more responsibility on your part. But all saved people, everybody that's saved are His people. But did you know something? Not all saved people enjoy a close relationship with Him. It's sad to say, and you know it, and I know it, there are people that get born again, but they don't come to church. Now, could they be saved? Absolutely, because everybody gets saved the same way. But not everybody acts upon their salvation. Not everybody begins to act like one of His kids after they get saved. They're His creature, and they've been saved, so they're not going to go to hell. But are they acting like one of God's kids? Oh, no, they're not. So, two levels of the relationship. I'm His creature. He's my creator. I'll go to hell if I don't take care of that. Then He comes along and says, make me your God. Accept me through my Son, Jesus Christ, and you can become one of my people. Then we go to the next level. Father, child. A father-child relationship. When does that take place? That's when we begin to separate our lives from this world, We read about the father relationship in Isaiah 9:6 and in Romans 8:15. Listen to a verse here. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. There is reference here to the Jewish people, but there's more than that here. Listen to this verse. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, Jesus, as many of the created that receive him to become his people, to them gave he the power to become sons. The creature gets saved to become his people, then he gives them the power to become sons, to begin to behave right. Let me help you with something. You will go, there are churches where we could go there and there would be people sitting there that are his created. We could go there and find all sorts of people that are saved that are his people. That doesn't mean the building's full of Christians. They called them Christians first at Antioch because they were behaving like Christ. The word Christian, its whole connotation is you are like Christ. You ever heard someone say about a father and son, they say of the boy, he's a chip off the old block. Means he reminds me of his dad. You can tell whose family he belongs. You know which family he belongs to. You see, created people, they need to get saved so they become the people of God. But all the people of God are not acting like part of the family. So you can be saved and not be a Christian. And for some of you, that's probably a little difficult for you to understand. But honestly, the word Christian means Christ-like ones. Jesus, what made him who and what he was, is he wasn't like the world. He was separate from the world. He was perfect and sinless. Okay, so now I'm to the third relationship. I'm the created. I'm his people. I got that through salvation. Now I'm going to become a part of the family. He's going to be a father to me, and I'm going to act like his son. Now, let me tell you. Now, when I say separation, that means you stop doing things that keeps you from looking like, behaving like part of the family. That's what separation is. I'm leaving something behind that hinders me from being a good representative of Jesus, who is, he's our father, the family. I don't want to hurt the family name. I'm separating from those things. You know that when you got saved, you asked Jesus to come into your heart. Can I tell you something? I can't see him in there. He's in there. I would say, open your mouth. Let me look. Let me see if I can see down in there. I know you told me he was in there, but I can't see him. That's what happens when you become one of his people. You get saved, he moves in. I need you to understand something. If he moved in, now he wants to come out. And I don't mean he wants to come out because you can't lose your salvation. I mean that which saved you on the inside wants to work itself to the surface so people who cannot see what's on the inside can see what's on the outside so they know you're part of the family. Remember, you can be one of his people and saved, but not be a Christian because you're not like Christ. There are all sorts of people that I think are saved, but you know what? They look just like the creatures, the created. They look like them. They dress like them. They go where they go. They run with them. They listen to the creature's music. Right? Are there not saved people that look like, smell like, walk like, talk like? They're not even saved. Are they saved? Sure, if they ask Jesus to come into their heart and save them, they're saved. But you can't tell on the outside that they've got something holy on the inside. And God said, if you're going to be called part of the family, if you're going to be called a Christian, you've got to let what's in you work its way outside of you. And that's called separation from the world. So I started out He created me. I'm the created. He's the creator. Then I accepted him as God. I accepted his son as my savior. I get to become one of his people. Then I decide I'm going to stop doing things that give the family a bad name. I want to wear the label Christian. I want to have a father, son. He's my dad. It's okay to call me a Christian because I am different. You can't see the Christ in me, so I'll let him outside of me so you can recognize whose family I'm in. All right. Step number four. Friend and friend. We read earlier from Exodus 33:11. We could go to Proverbs 17:17 and others. God is our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Okay. Now, remember, I am his creation and he is the creator. That happened when I was born. I become his people when I got born again. I can now wear the name Christian when I leave behind the things that gives the family a bad name so I can wear the family title Christian. I did that at the time of separation. Fourth step, friend to God. How do I do that? By serving him. By serving him. See, separation is leaving bad things behind. Service is now doing something for him. When I separated from the world, I stopped doing the things that give the family a bad name. When I want to really be God's friend, now it's not just stopping the bad, it's adding the good. And so everybody in here understands one of the most secure ways to be solidified in your Christianity is when you separate, you don't want to leave something behind and not go to something good. You want to survive, you leave the bad behind and turn to the good. You say, preacher, I've got to get this wicked, nasty rock music or country music out of my life. Then let me tell you something. Get rid of the bad and then get you a bunch of good gospel music to replace it, because you're not going to do without music altogether. If you take out the bad, if you're not careful, you take it out, you just create a vacuum and you'll suck the bad and sometimes even more bad right back in. So what you do, you know, if you're trying to give up, if you're trying to maybe cut back on your eating habit, you're not going to stop eating altogether. You may need to just stop eating so many cupcakes and start eating a couple pickles or something every once in a while. But you take the bad out, and you can't do without food altogether, but you put the good in. So he created me. He saved me. I began to separate. If I'm going to solidify this growth, I need to go from not only not doing the bad, I've got to turn to start doing the good. Now, everybody in this auditorium, you fit into one of these categories. If you're not saved here tonight, you are a creature. You are one of the created beings of God, but you're not one of his people. If you're saved, but you live in the world, you act like the world, you behave like the world, you're one of his people, but you're not a Christian. If you're separating from the world, then you're one of God's kids. You're removing the things that give the family a bad name, and now you're cleaning up. But folks, just so you all know, and this is where a lot of decent people make a mistake, God didn't clean you up so you look pretty. God cleaned you up to use you. If you sit there and say, Brother Owens, I'm as clean as a hound's tooth, and it's been a while since I've really taken a good long look at a hound's tooth, but a hound's tooth that eats milk bone biscuits to keep their teeth clean, you say, I'm as clean as a hound's tooth. Well, you may be real proud of that, but you were not made clean to be clean. You're made clean because it is a pre-qualification to be used of God. Because you weren't supposed to just come out from among them. You were to get to somebody else and go do something good with your life. The last step is becoming a friend to God, and a friend has added service to the separation relationship, which made you earn the right to be called a Christian. Let me read a verse or two to you that will help you with this. In John chapter 15, verse number 14, he says this, Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You say, I want to be God's friend. To be God's friend, you don't just get saved. To be God's friend, you don't just clean up your life. To be God's friend, you have to become a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Let me give you another verse. In John chapter 15, remember why we were created. Remember all the way back at the beginning of this thing. God created man to serve him, to glorify him. God wants man to praise him. Okay? Man fell. When man fell, man was no longer going to heaven. He was going to go to hell. And God said, wait a minute, I created man to bring him to heaven so he could eternally glorify me and praise me. Man fell. God said, I'll send my son. And I'll not only let them be creatures or created, I'll make it so they can be one of my people. Oh, but then God makes it even better than that. God said, I won't only just have you be my people. I'll let you become one of my kids. But you're going to have to wear the name. So in other words, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to act like Christ and leave the things of the world behind. But God said, if you'd really like to do something, why don't you be my friend? Don't just leave the bad things behind. Add the good things to your life and let's be friends. Listen to this. It says in John 15:8. Well, remember, John 15:14, if you're my friends, you do whatsoever I command you. Now in John 15:8, listen to this. You and I were created to glorify him. The whole Christian process is so that God gets glory and he gets honor. In John 15:8, it says this. Herein is my Father glorified, that's what we're looking for, that you bear much fruit. What's that? He said he wants you to be productive. So I want to be his friend. Then do what he commands you. What's he commands you to do? Bear fruit. Be productive. Now stay with me. I know this is so simple, but stay with me. I really, if you'll get this, everybody here, I'll show you God's will for your life. I can show you why you're alive right now. You were his creature. He saved you. You became his people. He wants to clean you up so you separate, so you can wear the name Christian. But he didn't want you just to be a Christian so you could show it off. He had a purpose. He wants to be glorified. And herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I'm to be a friend to God. I'm to serve him. Remember, I took the bad out at separation. That qualified me to be called a Christian. I'm one of the family. Now, I've got to add the good. I've got to serve him. And according to that, I need to become productive. I glorify him by helping people. Really, he said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. All right? Now, here's God's plan. He created you. Man fell. Said, I'll save you. I'll help you to separate. Now I want you to launch out and reach people. You know what your job's to do then? You are to go find a creature, help them to become one of his people, gently help them to become Christian, so that they then can be taught to go out and find one of his created beings, to help them become one of his people, to help them to separate from the world, to help them then to go serve him and reach people so they can go and find one of his creatures and get them to be one of his people and then get them to separate from the world. Why? Not so they're pretty, but so they look like a part of the family. They represent the family well. You say, what for? To get somebody out of hell. Look, your separation in life is a bigger deal than just all about you. It's about getting people out of hell. Separated people do a far better job when it comes to getting people out of hell than unseparated people. You say, Pastor, wonder if I'm just one of his people. Can I still witness? Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're living like all the lost people, if you listen to all their jokes at work, and you act like them, you listen to their music, you party, and then you go to them and say, boy, I'd like you to get saved and get what I have. You know what they're going to say? What do you have? Well, I'm a Christian. You know what they're going to say? You are not. You say, I am. They're going to say, I even know better. Now, you know what? You're saved, and you're one of his people. But when we don't clean up, we don't make a real big impact on anybody. And they'll get us. They will. Yeah, you all work with people, and every once in a while you'll make a comment about what they ought to do, and if they know anything about you, they'll say, well, who do you think you are? I know this about you. Now, I wish they wouldn't do that, but they will. God knew what he was doing. God's the one that put the whole program together. He said, I created you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to send you out so you can be productive for me. Now, let me go backwards for just a second. Some of you, you got saved. You separated. And you actually started being productive in your Christian life. You go after people. You used to go soul winning. You used to try to influence people. But you can backslide. You know, backsliding has different levels. You thought backsliding means I went from being a friend all the way to the bottom of the barrel. Oh, no, you can backslide from these different levels. You used to be interested in the souls of men. You used to tell people about Jesus. You used to hand out tracts. You used to try to get people under the gospel. But you backslidden. You don't do that anymore. Are you still one of his children? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're still separated. You say, oh, preacher, I'm not a drunk. Preacher, I'm not living in fornication or adultery, and I'm not living wickedly. I know, but but are you helping him? You say, I'm not going against him, all right, but are you going for him? So we can backslide from the friend element where we're not serving, but we're still relatively clean. But did you know this? Then you could backslide even more. There are people in here. You used to be separated. You used to have some convictions about what kind of music you're going to listen to and how you're going to behave and where you're going to go and what you're going to do. But you've given a lot of those up. You used to be separated, but now you're not anymore. Are you still one of his people? Yeah. Are you saved? Yeah. Are you separated? No. Are you acting like a Christian? No. Are you his friend? No. You're not doing anything for him. You're not even living like you're a part of the family. Are you going to heaven? Yes. Will you spend eternity in heaven? Yes. Now here's something that's wonderful for you. If you're going backwards in your Christian life, and there are people sitting under the sound of my voice, you're going backwards. But here's the great thing. You can't take the step back from people to creature ever. You say, why? He wouldn't allow that. Jesus paid too much for you to be saved. And so he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never take your salvation away from you. You will always be one of God's people. But you always won't earn the right to be called a Christian. And you won't always qualify as a friend. A friend is helping with the production cycle. You say, why? The production cycle is how he gets people saved so he can get more people in heaven so they can glorify him and praise him and live eternally with him. That's why we were created in the first place. That's why the thing of helping people is such a big deal to God. Thank God, I can't backslide out of being one of his people. But I can backslide from being a Christian that's interested in reaching people. I can backslide from my separated life. But that's where it ends. What is God to you? If you're here tonight and you say, I'm just one of his creation, then I would beg you to get saved and become one of his people. I beg you to do that. Oh, you say, I'm one of his people. All right. If you're one of his people and you're saved, but you're not separating from the world, you're not cleaning up, you're not leaving the world behind, you're not changing your life, could I recommend to you that you decide you want to carry the name Christian? You say, I already do. No, you carry the name of being one of his people if you're unseparated. Christian means you're acting like the family. But you say, I'm there. Okay, everybody here, be careful of your pride and your vanity. If you've cleaned up your life and you're real proud of that, he didn't clean you up so you'd be proud of it. He cleaned you up to qualify you to reach people. He cleans you up for the purpose of you being usable, a vessel unto honor. And so somebody might need to step up and say, you know something, I don't want to just be a decent person. I want to be a productive, decent person. I just don't want to be a Christian. I want to be a true friend to God. And he said, you're my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. And about 8 verses prior to that, he said, I am glorified if you bear much fruit. You know what I want our church to be? Can I tell you where you get all sorts of problems in a church? If you got a church full of creatures. Church full of lost people. That's a mess. But you know what? You could have a church that's full of God's people and still have a mess. Why? They're saved, but you wouldn't know it. They come to church and play church, walk out and go live any way they want, sneak and hide. And some of you like that. But then you could get a church where they're saved and they're separated, but they're never interested in reaching anybody. There are little country churches out there, got 6 people, and they're all just as clean as they could be. Been 15 years since they've seen anybody saved. You walk in as a visitor, they're all worried to death that you're going to take their pew. Aunt Margaret gave the money for that pew. That's our family pew. It's got her name right on it. They don't care. They don't care about reaching people. And I thank God they're clean. But if we want our church to be a friend to God, you know what we need to do? We need to go to the created, help them become his people. Be willing to stand with your pastor while he toes the line and says, we need to clean up. And let's go reach a whole bunch of people. And then let's teach them to go to his created, help them to become his people. That was God's plan for evangelizing the world. That's how he said this will work. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The challenge tonight is, what is God to you? What is God to you? If you're just the created, you need to get saved. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. You can walk out of this place, just not something that God created, but you will be born again and you'll become one of his people. But if you're saved, and you say, I'm saved, I know that for a fact, Pastor, then I recommend that you not only be saved, but that you decide you're going to start separating from the things that give the family a bad name. You separate your life. Put some things behind you. Get those out of your life. Why? So you act like the family. You give Jesus a good name. That's separation. There are some of you are very, very clean, but you never tell anybody about Jesus. You never witness. You never try to get friends to come. You never influence people. You wouldn't have anything to do with a bus route or going soul winning or any of that. I'd recommend you step up and become a friend to God, and herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. First question is, which one of those? What level are you at? Have you backslidden? You used to care about the souls. I mean, there's some of you who used to win souls. You don't anymore. No interest. You backslidden. Maybe you ought to step back up. At every level, we can backslide. Some of you used to be far more separated. Used to care about it. What soiled you? Where'd you go? What'd you do? What caused you to lose it? You're backslidden. Step up. Regain that relationship. And thank God you can't lose your salvation. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I think God has spoken to my heart. I understand something. I believe God's given me some direction in my life. There's a relationship. Maybe I need to reconnect. I need to take an overview here, but God has spoken to my heart about these relationships. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Amen. God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You come and you pray. Maybe you need to come and say, God, you know, I am backslidden in an area. I used to, but I'm not, and I need to step back up. Don't go backwards, folks. And it isn't really just about you. It's about building the army that will help save a lost and dying world. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need to come, you come. Maybe you need to come and apologize to the Lord and say, Father, I'm sorry. I've kind of dropped the ball a little bit. There's some areas where I used to be separated, but I'm not, and I need to. Don't just be one of His people. And I'm glad if you're saved, praise the Lord. Thank God you're saved. Amen. But step up. Step up in your Christian life. Get some of those things out of your life that give the family a bad name. Take the bad out, but don't stop there. Put the good in. Stop running around going to the nightclubs and things and start showing up for soul winning. Take the bad out, put the good in. Especially put the good in regard to your concern for the souls of men. This is how God intended to build His mighty army. Get them saved. Clean them up. Give them a cause. Have them go get one. They go get one and get them saved. Help to clean them up a bit. Give them a cause. Tell them to go get one. One more time through the number, please.